Please rise. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all mercy and the God of all consolation. He comforts us in our sorrow so that we might continue to comfort others in their sorrow with the consolation we ourselves have first received from God. Brothers and sisters, when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. And we are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome. And blessing to you on this day as we give thanks for and commend dear Amy to God's ultimate and loving care which she came to know when she was an infant, came to know because her mother and father knew the gift of life in Jesus, who came to know the gift of life from their parents and so on. We are here as part of the generations of faith, receiving from the saints and moving forward into the future. As we gather today, there'll be time for song and for memory, for giving thanks and for telling more stories that were started as we reconnect with one another. Part of Amy's life clearly was beauty. She herself was a person who was beautiful, not just because her eyes and nose and ears were in the right place, but because she knew about life and loved to share life. Her beauty came from inside, and it came through her countenance. And she loved to be around beautiful things and people who were creating beauty, taking the colors and sounds and textures of God's world and creation and assembling them in new ways. And as we worship and give thanks today and live in memory, we are surrounded by these quilts. And you can even turn, even hanging from the balustrade up behind you in the loft, are Amy's quilts. As she took color and texture and thread and created beauty. As you walked in, you walked by paintings. And there's here and the flowers, all these things speak of the joy that she had. And you'll hear over and over again that all those things were part of forming and sustaining relationships. Because at the heart of God's beauty and at the heart of art and the heart of our activity and life is the relationship with God and then with one another. Which is why you're here. Because either directly connected to Amy or through a friend, a spouse, or someone you're related to, Amy's life touched your life. And these are the things we give thanks for, remember, and praise God for today. It was my blessing to have been her pastor, not the only pastor in her life, but one of them at Holy Cross at a time when, as it turned out, I shared this with the family yesterday, and excuse me for a moment, but Jim and Amy were married 25 years ago. And it was a second life, a new chapter for both of them. They were a blessing to one another and celebrated by family and friends. And they moved to Ojai, or she moved to Ojai to be with Jim. And I'm thankful in my life that Jim told me and Amy told me the story after they had established a friendship with me. Jim came to me one day and he said, "Well, you know why we're here, don't you, at Holy Cross?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, when we moved to town, we had to find a church together, and we went around and visited different churches, and I thought they were building up to because you're so great." So I was, you know, and he talked about the other churches in town that they'd visited, and he was getting to the point where he was going to talk about Holy Cross. And then he said, "Well, we decided together that you were the one who needed us most." I'm so glad to have been broken at the right time that Jim and Amy could come and paint a little bit on me, do a little art, assemble the pieces, and do what Jim did with his hands and their faith. I'm going to invite grandson Nick to come forward and share a prayer before we sing.
My name's Nick, and I'm reading a poem from my Grandma Amy's journal entitled The World Made New by Eleanor Roosevelt. Our Father, who has set a restlessness in our hearts and made us all seekers after that which we can never truly find, forbid us to be satisfied with what we make of life. Draw us from base content and set our eyes on far-off goals. Keep us at tasks too hard for us that we may be driven to thee for strength. Our Father, who has set a restlessness in our hearts and has made us all seekers after that which we can never fully find, deliver us and save us from ourselves. Open our eyes, open our hearts, and show us a vision of the world made new. Amen.
Children of the Heavenly Father.
It's so beautiful to see you all here today. You know, I'm Amy's daughter, and that we were like this. And so I wanted to say some things, but it was so hard to figure out what to say about my mom, who I adored and had so much adoration and respect for. I wrote about Mom in her obituary that she could be a little fierce. It's on the back of your program there that we waited for. Probably not an adjective many of you would associate with her, fierce, unless maybe you got into a difficult political conversation with her. But aside from politics, she was most fierce about those she loved. Her greatest aspiration truly was for those around her, to know she loved them and was grateful for them. They talk about that attitude of gratitude and how that brings us happiness. I don't know anyone who exemplified that more than my mom. A few years ago, I had given my mom a journal, and I had asked her to write down thoughts to share with grandchildren. This was even before she had been diagnosed with the cancer. And when going through her things, I found the journal. And in her classic form, it was stuffed with lists and slips of paper, post-it notes, newspaper clippings, favorite quotes, and half-finished letters to several family. So I'd like to share that with you now, letters, thoughts, and quotes right from Mom's journal, as much of this service today is from her journal. Things that she wanted to be shared with family, especially all grandchildren. Dear ones, people say, "My goodness, where have the years gone?" This was written on her 81st birthday, to start with. There's thoughts that go throughout, but and she says, "I'm thinking lately of the years I have left and what I might do with them. First, to tell you and often how much I love you. A good rule I read somewhere, do a kindness each day, parentheses, like hug your mom or your grandma, and list some joys and blessings each day. I have been so blessed always in my family, mom and pop, my brothers, my sister, my children, my grandchildren, underlined. Thank you. Remember, when somebody is in your heart, you will never lose them. The time you spend and the people you love, no one takes that past joy away from you. A few years ago, a few of us were asked to talk about a favorite artist, one person each week at a Lenten service at church. I showed the slides with the music about Van Gogh that Aunt Nancy had emailed me. I researched Van Gogh a bit, and this is a favorite quote from what I learned. The more I think about it, the more I realize there is nothing more artistic than to love others. Another Van Gogh quote. What would life be if we had no courage to attempt anything? Let me tell you how proud of all of you I am, especially when you keep on doing your best, even in difficult circumstances. I see the truth of that quote in each and every one of you. When you put your all into a sports activity, or writing project, or music, or academic challenge, or creative activity. What I most hope will always be there for you. Knowing in your heart, your deepest, innermost self, that you are good, worthy, and that just as you are all you need to be. That you should feel joy in what you are is something I want you never to forget. Don't ever let anyone take that from you. Hold it and keep it inside always. Let me share a prayer that I like, she went on, and need, she had in quote, in parentheses. O God of second chances and new beginnings, here I am again. This I found in a book that Kevin gave me, she said. I read from it often when I'm having a hard time sleeping. It's a comfort book. Some of the biggest comfort things around me are the hanging collages of photos of all the grandchildren and children. What a blessing you all are. My love is with you always. Your mom and grandma, Amy. And Molly's going to come up and read the next passage, which I thought was very appropriate for today.
Hi, I'm Molly, Amy's granddaughter. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Hello, my name is Joa, and I am Amy's youngest grandchild of 13 grandchildren. I'm going to share a story, but before I start, I would just like to say how much I miss my grandma. Like the other day, I was doing my art homework, and I had to watercolor some waves on my project. My mom and I didn't know how to do the waves, and right then, we both realized that my grandma would have been able to tell us how to paint the waves without barely even having to think about it. Now I'm going to read a story written by my grandma. This story is about one of my favorite stuffed animals named Lion. It was torn up by one of our dogs. While we were away when I was four. This is the book. My brother drew the cover. And then the second page, my grandma painted the cover. And then the last page, I did the cover. This story is called The Lion's Tail. This story is about faith and joy. Joa's favorite stuffed toy, the lion his mommy gave him, met with disaster one day when left alone with Sugar. Sugar was a beautiful border collie that the seagulls were providing with rescue care for a time. Well, Sugar decided that he should play with the lion too, while everyone was out. We don't know if T-Bone decided to join in, because he didn't tell. When Joa and the family came home, they were met with a family room full of cotton stuffing floating all over. Lion was in shreds with three legs torn off and only his face and tail still all right. It was very, very sad. Mommy said, maybe Grandma can fix it. But when Grandma next visited, it looked really hopeless. But Joa didn't give up hope. He had faith. And the next time Grandma came, Mommy brought out the mending basket, and there Lion was still waiting. So Grandma gave it a try. She stitched the belly, she stitched the neck and chest, she stitched on the legs, and she restuffed all of him. He wasn't perfect. He will always have a limp. But he is back together and in Joa's loving arms. The joy on Joa's face when he came home to his mended lion was worth more than precious jewels, worth more than hundreds of dollars. Mommy says that lion will have a permanent home in Joa's faith chest and that Grandpa made when Joa moves on to the older toys. But I think Lion will be by his side for some time to come. So this tale is to accompany Lion's memory. It is thanks to William that it exists because he started the project by making the cover page. So William, keep up the good work. From Grandma with Love, May 2009. And I just love this story because it starts about how this story is about faith and joy. Then she says, the joy on Joa's face when he came home to his mended lion was worth more than precious jewels, worth more than hundreds of dollars. That just shows how much my grandma valued the joy of others she loved and how she valued it so much. And she would take it over precious jewels and dollars. Thank you.
Hello, thank you for coming today. My name is Chris Perkins, Amy's stepson. Amy had so many facets in her life: artist, mother, grandmother, wife, advocate, educator. I found myself often waking up this week early in the morning trying to capture a vision of Amy for you all so I could share that today. And I thought the best tribute was really how I think I knew her best, grandmother to Magda and Maya's three boys, Nick, Spencer, and Ian. So I wanted to share this with you today. Love you, honey. Three simple yet powerful words. Jim and Amy met more than 50 years ago as neighbors here in Camarillo on a small street called Mila Street, just a short distance from the point we're at here. Both from the Midwest, raising young children and beginning their careers, they had much in common. Many years later, again with many things in common, successful careers, retirement either underway or right there around the corner, children out of the house, they came together once more and turned a friendship into a love story. After my mother Shirley passed away in the mid-80s, I think my father went through some struggles on how to move forward. He retired, moved to a new community in Oakview, and had an unsuccessful relationship. He needed a new direction, some stability, an anchor, and I think he found that in Amy, a woman of great independence, a strong advocate for the less fortunate, a person with deep convictions and perseverance, someone he could love and someone that he could be loved by. My wife Magda and I were fortunate, no, really blessed, to settle close by to Dad and Amy in Oakview. We had been married for a few years and had some struggles starting our family, but finally in 1994, we learned that Magda was pregnant with Nicholas, our first child. I still vividly remember coming over to the house and announcing the news. Amy about leaped out of her chair to shower us with hugs. Again came, "Love you, honey." Amy and my dad were always there for us, whether it was morning, afternoon, or evening. Ear infections, flu bugs, upset stomachs, Amy was the best grandma young parents could have. Both Magda and I knew that all would be well once Nick, Spencer, or Ian arrived at grandma's. Heaps of love, much patience, maybe an art lesson, even some baking cookies in the kitchen. I often had the afternoon duty to pick up one of the boys on the way home if they were there ill. As I left the house, sick kid in hand, the last treat the boys received from Grandma was a big hug and a, "I love you, Nick. I love you, Spencer. I love you, Ian. Love you, honey." It wasn't just our boys that Amy cared for, but others through her volunteer work at Holy Cross Church and preschool, where she amassed an extended family of kids, young adults, and fellow seniors to care through her quilt ministry, Wednesday night dinners, preschool education, and Sunday fellowship. Dad and Amy were the foundation from which so many relationships were built, supported, and enriched by the church. Not only were they a persistent fixture at Holy Cross, but they welcomed so many to their house for swim parties, work in the wood shop, art lessons, quilting, meals, and abundant love. When it came time for the boys to enter preschool, where else would they go but to Holy Cross? Over a span of 10 years, at least one, if not two, of our boys attended school there. What better role models could grandkids have to witness Christ's love than to see their grandpa and grandma at church almost daily, selflessly supporting and caring for others? Again, those three words, "Love you, honey." Following Dad's passing, Amy traveled north to be close to Adrian, Larry, William, and Joa. She valiantly battled to spend as much time with her two youngest grandkids and was blessed to have them by her side this last year and a half. My phone calls north were not as frequent as my thoughts and prayers for her. Our last phone call about 2 weeks before she passed away was like many others. A short phone call, simply a call to say I loved her, that I missed her, and she would always end with those three simple words, "Love you, honey." Her greatest gift to all of us are those three simple words, a role model for us, for our children, and a reflection on how we should care for each other. Thank you.
My name is Nancy Nord, and I am married to Amy's brother. Amy was my bestest friend. I lived in Camarillo 50 years ago, and our friendship never ended. I know that I love you, honey. She often called me dear heart, and she was my dear heart. I think sometimes, or I believe, that God places us in people, in places where there will be people that care for us. and where I lived in Camarillo on Oak Street, right across the back alleyway were two dear hearts, Terry, excuse me a minute, Terry, you know, I'm 79. Give me a name. Terry and Gail DeWolf. Right across the back alley. And it got kind of hard after we got to know each other to keep going. We built gates in the fence so that we could zoom back and forth. And we spent a lot of time together. And of course, Gail and Terry had a sister-in-law, Amy, at that time. She was a single parent with three children, and I was a single parent with three children. And we really needed friends. I just read recently, I think it was in the Art magazine, that we don't need a lot of friends, but we need friends that are very good, a few friends. And that friendship has lasted all these years. When Gail and I sat down and talked yesterday, I don't think it was like there was any years between our being together. And when I saw their children, Carolyn and Troy, I remembered the plane back and forth between my three children, Joellen, Margaret Ann, and our son Donald. They played together a lot, and they were good for each other because those times were hard when you're a single mom. And I think I called Gail and Terry a few times very late at night when I needed them, and they were always available. I'm looking around to see, you know, we've all changed, haven't we? Look over there. Yes, there's Gail and Terry. There's my good friend Benita and her daughter. And it's like 50 years? No. We're still connected by those same feelings of love. Love you, honey. I'm glad you said that, Chris, because that's how she would always end our phone calls. Love you, honey. Boy, that's a real help. Well, I met Amy over at Gail and Terry's, and then I met Amy. You know, like I say, sometimes I think God plans ahead for us because we had a wonderful neighborhood there. Wonderful. Just down the block from us lived Joe and Jesse Persh. I don't know if any of you knew them, but oh, they were a godsend. I remember little Donnie walking one morning before I was even up. I don't think he was hardly 1 year old. He crawled out of the window in his bedroom. He had taken his bottoms of his pajamas off and his night diaper. And just walked down the street and knocked on Joe's door and said, "Want to play?" So we were very blessed with that neighborhood. Well, I met Amy, and we started doing things together. I didn't know if I was ever going to have a happy time again. And she and I went to a movie the first time we did something together. It was MASH. And then we went out to eat, and we talked and talked and laughed. And I thought, there'll be life again. That's what she gave me. Then one day, her brother came to visit her. 36-year-old Swedish farmer bachelor from Minnesota. And that was what another thing she gave me. She said she made a list of all her single friends because they were really eager for this 36-year-old brother to get married. And I was the first one on the list, although I've heard since that there wasn't a list, but I never let her get to number two. And so we married, and I moved to the farm in Minnesota and became a farmer. Prior to that, one day Amy and I were talking, and we thought, you know what I'd really like to do? Here are these two Midwestern gals, one from a small rural town and one from a farm. We'd like to go to Europe, the two of us. Well, we didn't have any money. We thought we'd save for a couple years. And we had garage sales. I cashed some of my children's savings bonds. But I paid them back, didn't I? And then I said something. I wasn't as brave as Amy was. I said, you know, one of us might be foolish enough to get married again, and then we wouldn't get to go. So Amy, brave and courageous, said, well, let's go now. So we did, and we had a wonderful time. I would have never been able to do that alone because I had Amy with me. I remember one other thing that we did. We shared a boyfriend. Well, it was a friend who was a man. And we saw they were going to give square dancing lessons, and we thought, ooh, that would be fun. And he could square dance, this man friend. So Amy signed up first, and he was good, and they took all the lessons, and then I think she'd had enough of him, and she gave him to me. Then I had the square dancing lessons. She has been a constant in my life, although we have not lived close for 50 years. But she has never changed. She was a very strong woman of faith. And so I'm glad I'm 79 because I don't think it'll be too much longer and I will be with her. And to be with my bestest friend will be heaven. Thank you, Amy, my children, my family, my husband Don, and the Perkins family. We have heard a lot of stories from your dad. He always prefaced with this, I maybe have told you this before, but. And so I'm glad to see all of you here honoring Amy. All four of my children came, and they are busy, busy people. Oh, I forgot to tell you about our youngest. Joe, Margaret. Guess what we named the youngest? Amy. Amy Marie, the same name as Amy. And she has been a blessing, as all my children have. So, love you, honey.
So, hi, for all those that don't know me, my name is Will, and I'm Amy's grandson. And today I'm going to be sharing two stories that are really like fond memories for me with my grandma. The first took place just here, around here, at the Ventura County Fair. Every year at the fair, I'd go with my grandma and my mom and my dad, and there'd always be one big slide. I think there's a picture of it in the other room, a big wavy slide. And I was pretty young at the time and sort of scared to go on. And my grandma said, "Oh, I'll go on with you." And then my grandpa kind of gave her a look like, "You sure? Like, you sure you want to do that?" But she climbed up with me, and she went down, and at the top of every rise of the kind of wave, you could hear her scream, according to my mom. And also according to my mom, my grandpa, who was not a man who would really scare easily, supposedly he was just clenching his jaw in anxiety, just the sight of my grandma going down. And for the next few years, we continued, me and my grandma, to go down that slide until, you know, it got that she was just a little too old at the point, and I was also too old. So the other story took place on a beach in Pismo. And on this beach, you could actually, it's one of the few beaches left where you can drive out in a car onto the beach. And so one trip, my mom, my brother, and grandma decided to drive out. And after a while of driving, we said, "We're going to hand the wheel over to my grandma." And so we said, "Grandma, let's have you do some donuts." So what a donut is it's when you drive usually pretty fast in a circle. But for my grandma, it was like 5 miles per hour. Yeah, but you could still tell she really enjoyed it. And in her eyes, you could see the fierce look, like it was like the last 100 meters of the Grand Prix. And then another part of the speech story is another trip, same beach, we were driving. And my mom got the car stuck, probably because of her poor driving. And then at first, my mom hit the gas while we all pushed from the back while my grandma sat in the passenger seat. But it did not work. We were stuck too deep. So then we put grandma behind the wheel again, and we all got out and pushed, and nothing was happening. And then we saw this gigantic Jeep pushed up, you know, it's all propped up, huge Jeep, it's like a monster Jeep, come driving towards us. And I don't think they would have stopped, but they kind of saw my grandma in the front seat driving, and they were like, "What is this? I've never seen this before. We should help them." So they helped us, and they pulled us out, and then we got back on the road. And then those are just two stories I have that really just kind of remind me how great of a person my grandma was, how she was so caring, kind, compassionate about all her family, friends, and those who loved her and the ones she loved too.
Hi, I'm John, one of Amy's grandsons, and I'm going to be reading from the book of Philippians. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and nearly in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength."
What a privilege it is to be able to share the good news with you today. Yesterday, I met with the family at Conejo Mountain Cemetery. We consecrated and commended Amy's remains back to the earth. Then we gathered at Gail and Terry's home, had some food from God's good earth, and then we gathered together in the living room to share good news stories about our lives having been affected by Amy's life. We began those stories with Don's recollection as a boy with his older sister who loved you. And I did ask my usual question, which was, oh, tell us a story of when things were, she was happy with you and maybe when she was angry with you. Because older sisters can have that experience with younger brothers. And in sincerity, you didn't have any stories of her being particularly angry with you. And then as the stories unfolded from youth through the older days and up until these days, we heard words about bravery, about service to others, about her education and her mind, which continued to grow and desire new learning. We heard about art and beauty, about discipline, about care for creation and about faith, about encouragement. And this notion of encouragement came up over and over again. And then that, I'm going to put that in partnership with a particular lack of judgment. As you heard the scriptures read today from 1 Corinthians, from Philippians, as you have the chance to take home this insert, the hymns of the faith which she sang as a little girl at church in Goodhue, in Denison, and in Vasa, or Vasa. These are the hymns that she sang and heard sung around her life. And then she gathered in the psalm, and how great thou art. Lord, the dance came later, but then this prayer from Eleanor Roosevelt and this simple prayer. O God of second chances and new beginnings, here I am again. As we hear the scriptures and the psalms and the hymns and the prayers, we rejoice today, I do with you, that we were blessed to have a saint and a sinner in our midst. And that's how we understand things. If you're not Lutheran, we often start with saint and sinner. We're both. That's our condition. That she knew that she was one of God's blessed. She was one of God's own. She also knew she was a sinner and needed God's word to direct and guide and shape her life. That she understood, and I know this about Amy, that she understood that she wasn't so good that she matched up with Scripture. She knew she needed God and God's Word to shape her life. And so when you go home tonight and you reread 1 Corinthians 13, you'll see and hear and experience Amy. But you'll do that because Amy allowed those words to shape how she was going to live out her existence. Do you hear the direction? Do you hear the order of that? That was the faith that informed her. It was knowing that she was a child of the Heavenly Father that was safely gathered into his bosom, that would be held for all eternity. And so she wasn't brave and therefore a Christian. She allowed her faith, this notion, this understanding of God's embrace of her at baptism, to then give her bravery. That she could do all things through Christ who gave her strength. She could do stuff. And she learned that from church, but she learned it most importantly at home. Her father died when she was 9 years old. That doesn't happen the way it used to. And people don't live on farms as much as they used to, but Amy grew up on a farm and her dad died. And her mother had to decide, should we sell the farm and move back into town and I can be a teacher again, or should we stay here and make a go of it on the farm? And your grandma, your mom, decided, your great-grandmother, and then by extension to all of you, she decided to stay and make a go of it. And that's hard work. It's hard work, and that was what... I'm going to paraphrase, Don, but you said, well, there wasn't much time to be angry because we were working all the time. It was love and work. There wasn't much more. It was work. And because you had to work on the farm, the town where the school was 5 miles away. And Amy, on some winters, boarded in town. Imagine that. Imagine being in high school, 5 miles away, and you lived in town in January, February, and March because you couldn't get home. That's work. And so life is work, but life isn't drudgery work, it's a blessing. Because you get to make art out of it. You get to make things happen, and you learn to do stuff and make things happen. And you told the story, Adrian, yesterday about knowing, like, young people today don't know what to do with jumper cables. But your family had a 1963 Falcon, and you know what to do with jumper cables. Because you had a 1963 Falcon, and you know how, because your mom knew how, because she grew up on a farm and she knew how to do stuff. And stuff breaks, and life happens, and death happens, and there's tools, and you can get those tools, and you can, you know, because you can't get to town when the tire goes, you got to fix it. You just have to do stuff and make it happen. And she knew how to do stuff and make it happen. And I want to invite you today in the midst of the scripture and this beautiful woman, and I would love to go on. For those whom I was a pastor, you know I can. I can go on and on and on. But you have your own stories. You have your own stories. Being a Christian's not easy. Being a person of faith is not easy. It takes work. But the work is divine work. It's work that changes lives. It changed Amy's life. It gave her purpose and strength. It gave her bravery and resilience. It gave her beauty. It gave her song. It gave her service and love. It gave her you and the relationships that she nurtured. So when she said, "Love you, honey," it came with a kind of power that resonates through the ages, that we can bless one another with that over and over again. And I would invite you and encourage you to take up that same faith, to let your life be shaped once again by scripture, but also the memory of this lovely woman and her husband, Jim, and their life together. To allow that to wash over your life again, and to consider maybe, just maybe, that you need the same treatment. Maybe, just maybe, the prayers and the scriptures and the hymns can make a difference in your life in shaping you to become the person you want to be and that God wants you to be so that you can be that for others. All of us here today have been blessed by Amy's life. Amy's life, which was shaped by your life, which was shaped by her parents' life and the parents who came before and all the generations, and then you shaped her too. As you gave her a chance, as you gave her a chance to love, you gave her the opportunity to do art classes when you were sick. You gave her the opportunity to heal and to bring joy. You gave her the opportunity to be rich beyond her wildest dreams. More than precious jewels or gold coins, the joy in your faces fed her. And then you can be shaped by that same reality so that we can all count our blessings. And God knows today we certainly need to do that, right? We live in a world that's full of complaining and bitterness and anger and division. And we don't have to live that way. We can live this way. With that same kind of smile and the kind of joy that can count blessings every day and be a little bit fierce. I'll end by sharing that I also was looked at that way. More than once, Amy Perkins, and I don't know if she turned her head or how it was, but it was a little side glance, the little squint that came. And then the other thing I was thinking when I was processing what we shared yesterday, I thought of her as really tall. I really did. And it wasn't until I went to see her when Jim was dying that I realized she's kind of tiny. But like, I thought she was tall like you. You know, where did that come from? Well, it came from her character, I think, right? Anyway, she sideways and down, that's what I remember, with her glasses. And her eyes would get kind of squinty, just kind of tighten up a little bit, and you'd get that look. Jora William, you talked about a look she gave to a family friend at a dinner not too long ago who said something that wasn't up her cup of tea, and she kind of gave him that look, and then he knew right away. She didn't have to say anything. She just looked, and then he knew. His life was a little bit shaped. Right? So for the song and the dance and the joy and the colors and the beauty, don't forget that little look. And don't forget, I love you, honey. In Jesus' name, amen. Grandson Joe is going to share with us another prayer from her journal.
So I'm Joe. I came up earlier, so I'm going to share a prayer from my grandma's journal that she liked and kept in her journal. It's called the Hopi Prayer. So this is it. Do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. I am the thousand winds that blow. I am the diamond glints on snow. I am the sunlight on the ripened grain. I am the gentle autumn's rain. When you awaken in the morning hush, I am the swift, uplifting rush of singing birds in circled flight. I am the soft stars that shine at night. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not die.
Anna's gonna sing. Vincent. She said to me it was one of Amy's favorite songs. And when we asked Anna to sing it, she tried, she said, I'm not going to sound like Don McLean. I said, that's good.
good to just be yourself.
Thank you.
Amy is survived by Chuck, Don, Char, Kevin, Adrian, Larry, Mark and Celine, Nancy and Bob, Chris and Pammer, Iman, William, Joa, John, Molly, James, Jessica, Jennifer, Jordan, Nick, Spencer, Ian, Liam and Sarah, great-grandchildren, Terrell, Traylin, and Destiny. We join with you today in grief, in prayer, and in faith. Please share with me now in the prayers of God's people, prayers which have been spoken from generation to generation at this hour. At the end of each petition, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and I would invite you to respond, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give now to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, that we may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and that through the grave and the gate of death we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to all of us who are still yet on our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that your Holy Spirit may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we might be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to all who grieve a sure confidence in your loving care, that by casting all their sorrow upon you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to those who grieve, that we may all have strength to meet the days ahead in the comfort of a holy and certain hope, and in joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things that we cannot understand, to continue to believe and to trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now grant us the grace to entrust Eileen Marie Perkins, dear Amy, to your never-failing love which sustained her in this life. Receive her into the arms of your mercy and remember her according to the favor that you bear for your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good and gracious God, the generations rise and pass away before you. You are the strength of those who labor. You are the rest of the blessed dead. We rejoice in the company of your saints. We remember all who have lived in faith and all who have peacefully died, and especially those most dear to us who rest in you. Give us in time our portion with those who have trusted in you and striven to do your holy will. To your name, with the church on earth and the church in heaven, we ascribe all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. For those who are able, please rise. Lord, remember us in your kingdom as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now into your hands, O merciful Savior, We commend your servant, Eileen Marie. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of all the saints and lights. Amen. Lord of the Dance.
Begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth at Bethlehem. I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, and He, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high and left me there on the cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone, but I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. I'll lead you all wherever you may be.
Rest eternal grant her, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon her. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, doing that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us go forth from this place in peace. And again, by way of reminder, the way to the feast today is out that door, through the playground, and the sandbox on the way, and then a feast waits for all of us.